Alleluia, Christ is risen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
How beautifully Christ describes the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the night of our Lord's betrayal, and he just finished telling them that he would be betrayed, and that they themselves would have to suffer greatly for his name. And then he tells them that he is leaving. Their master, the one they found leadership and encouragement, their Lord is departing from them as they are about to endure a great trial. So it's no wonder they are filled with grief. But do you see how tenderly Christ talks to them? He doesn't call his crucifixion death, but he calls it simply going away, going back to the Father. And then he names the Holy Spirit the Paraclete, which means the Helper, the Counselor. If Christ does not go away, then he cannot come. If Christ does not win salvation, then how could he comfort you at a grave or give you hope in the face of death? If Christ does not suffer, die, and rise, then our hope is nothing more than a hollow wish, and we are to be pitied more than the rest of men. If Christ does not die, rise, and ascend. But he has. And so he has won salvation, and he returned to the Father to send the Holy Spirit who brings that salvation into the world. So do you see how absolutely necessary the Holy Spirit's work is? If he does not work, then no man could be saved. If he does not give us what Christ has won, then it does not matter that Christ has suffered, died, and risen. So Christ sends his Holy Spirit into the world, bringing his salvation, so that Christ's salvation might become ours. And the Holy Spirit comes through the agency of his messengers. It's not they who work, but it is in his office and at his order that they are preaching. Wherever that word is preached, there the Holy Spirit is, with power to change hearts and to strengthen hearts. So demand that your preachers preach nothing more than the Word of God, nothing more, nothing less. Demand they teach that Word fully and completely, lest they rob you of the Holy Spirit and so deprive you of your salvation. Expect nothing less from them. For it is only through that word that the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin. On your own, you cannot believe that you are a sinner from the moment of conception, from the moment of birth. You cannot believe that at one time you were utterly dead in sin, lost and condemned, an enemy of God and wanted nothing to do with him. The Holy Spirit has worked this in your heart, to believe and confess this. We're good at diminishing our sins. We call them mistakes, errors, areas to work on. We make excuses for them. We rationalize them. At times, we even look back and laugh at them and defend what we have done or said. But it is only through the Holy Spirit that we are led to repent of them, to turn away from such sins and turn back toward God. We commit such acts not because we have a lack of knowledge or because our personality is more geared toward, let's say, anger, but solely because of sin. So on earth, we make a distinction between sinners. We don't treat a convicted murderer the same way we treat our angry child. But in heaven, there is no distinction. For all have sinned, all have fallen short of the glory of God. All justly deserve God's punishment. And it's only through the Holy Spirit that we can confess such things. Likewise, it's only through that Spirit that we see that our sin was placed on Christ, that he became the scapegoat. He became sin. He became that serpent lifted up on the tree so that we might find healing in his wounds and relief from our sins. If you fully knew your own heart, you would be disgusted by how sinful it is. And yet God knows, and still he saves. So the cross reveals the heart of God that he would ransom you at the price of his Son. Ponder, dear Christian, and marvel at the depths of God's love for you. So the Holy Spirit points out your sin and shows you just how awful and deeply stained you are, but only so that he might point to Christ, who has taken away your sin fully and completely. Through the Holy Spirit, or through the Word, the Holy Spirit convicts you of righteousness. You are good people. You do good things. Your lives have been good. Your morals are straight. Your intentions are good. You don't want to hurt others, but to help them and lift them up. God be praised for this. You don't want to live for yourself, but for them. To serve them, to help them, to love them, to be compassionate and giving toward them. God be praised for this. But it's earthly righteousness. So why should you receive a heavenly reward for an earthly work? Only the Holy Spirit teaches you that all your righteous acts are nothing more than sinful rags. Only he opens your mouth to confess that you have no righteousness which avails before God and leads you into heaven, but that you justly deserve God's temporal and eternal punishment. And that is why Christ went back to the Father through his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. He did that so that he could achieve a heavenly righteousness. It's not for himself, for as God he has no need of it, but it's for you, so that you might have something that pleases God. This foreign righteousness pleases God your Savior, and you cannot add to it or increase it in any way. It is a gift by God, won by Christ to return to the Father. And the Holy Spirit takes this and gives it to you. It comes from God. Not from yourself, not even a little bit from you, but solely from God to you through faith. For Christ has fulfilled the law in his body so that there might be righteousness for everyone who believes. Only the Holy Spirit leads you to look away from yourself, away from your morality, away from your good works, away from your own goodness, and to Christ and his work for you. So stand before God with boldness and confidence this day. Do not fear this Holy One of Israel that somehow he is displeased with you. He is not. For Christ's sake, he is pleased. For Christ's sake, he receives you and accepts you as his own. Stand with courage each and every day, living in the righteousness of Christ. For this righteousness does not depend on how well you can handle life or keep it all together. It does not depend on how well you can handle troubles and adversities when they come up, but it depends solely on the mercy of God. It's a wonderful, beautiful righteousness that will not change. It's a heavenly righteousness with a heavenly reward. And so you don't see it here on this earth. But just wait for heaven. Just wait for heaven. Wait and see what Christ's righteousness will transform you into. The glory that will shine through your flesh, the honor bestowed on your nature, and the beauty that will be you, the beauty that surrounds you as well. But this righteousness is only for the sinner. It is only for those who confess with King David, "Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you." Which then brings us to that last conviction of the Holy Spirit. Through his word, he convicts the world of judgment. A just and right judgment for our sins and for our own lack of righteousness, but a gracious judgment, because Christ bore our sins and gives to us his righteousness. So the Holy Spirit has convinced us what will happen to us on that last day is not in doubt. We know the outcome already even before it has happened, that God will judge us holy and righteous for the sake of Christ, and he will bring us into heaven even as Christ ascended into heaven. For Satan, that great accuser, has been cast down. He is judged by Christ. So he cannot accuse us or harm us anymore. Daily he flies to God to accuse us of sin, but daily God casts him down like lightning when he says to you, I forgive you all your sins. When he tells you yet again that Christ is your righteousness, your life, and your salvation. Only the Holy Spirit leads you to trust in this gracious judgment of God for Christ's sake. For you cannot by your own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ your Lord or even come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called you by his gospel. He has enlightened you with his gifts. The Holy Spirit has sanctified you, that is, he has made you holy and he keeps you holy. And it is the Holy Spirit who also keeps faith burning brightly in your heart. So you see just how absolutely necessary the Spirit's work is for you. It all depends on him, on his work for you, not on how well you can hold on to this faith and retain this knowledge of Christ. And this Spirit has restricted himself to the Word. Take away the Word and you take away the Spirit. But wherever that word is faithfully preached, there the Spirit is at work to create and sustain faith. He rushes to you faster and with more power and brilliance than a torrential rainstorm to drive away the filth of sin and to cleanse you and make you new. So hear that word. Demand your pastors give you that word fully and completely. Demand that they preach sin and grace, law and gospel, so that the Spirit might continue to work in your heart and you be saved on the day our Lord returns. Alleluia, Christ is risen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.